is actually pressing in the Spirit, praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. So as we go on here, we want to break through in the Spirit here. You know, and I know that worship team can do all they can do, but it's our hearts. Whether we want to break through ourselves in the Spirit, each one of us, as we gather together in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's the breakthrough in the Spirit that we really need, you know, for each one of us. So this afternoon, we want to break through. Somehow, we're going to break through. I just want to admonish us all. Take responsibility for your walk with the Spirit. Don't resist what the Spirit is doing, because I believe God wants to take us someplace here. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for letting us come together. I just sense that there's a whole bunch of people here, Lord, who want to break through. But we just, Lord, help us each, help me, help each one of us, Lord, to open up our hearts. We open up our hearts to you, Lord, and to your Holy Spirit. Come and break that resistance in me, Lord, and in everybody here, Lord, that we can experience you greater. Thank you, Lord.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Amen. In the Greek, it's exclusive. Only those, in the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount, only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. But it's a promise. God watches over His Word to fulfill it. Those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the promise is they shall be filled. And only those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they're the only ones that shall be filled. Hunger and thirst is a gift from heaven. Isn't that good news? Anybody in here at times not hungered and thirst? Any liars in here? I mean, even it took the pastor had to raise his hand. The fact is, not all of us hunger and thirst, but the promise is that only those who hunger and thirst shall be filled. And hunger and thirst comes from the Holy Spirit. Grace precedes the hunger. Grace precedes faith. Everything initiates with God. So when I'm not hungering and I'm not thirsting, I go to the Lord who provides everything I need to change my heart, to come inside and to cause me to hunger and thirst for Him. I remember there was a period I was going through a dry time, one of those desert times. And I knew it. God knew it. But what's beautiful is that when you're moving in the Spirit and flowing in the times of flowing rivers, you recognize when you're not in that place because you miss it. How many know what I'm talking about? But see, it ebbs and flows, and when you've flown in it, and then you're not flowing in it, you start to get hungry for more. And I remember I was not flowing in it, and it was just not even that long of a period. You know, the longer you're in this, you can't go a few days without flowing. But maybe it was a month or 2 months or maybe a year way back. But now it's starting to narrow down where I can't live without flowing in the river of God. And so there was a period when I wasn't, and I recognized it, God recognized, and I did everything I could to get out of it. But I couldn't get out of it. I couldn't get in the river. And so I wanted to get in the river, but I couldn't get in the river. And I went through all the formulas that I was trained and taught in, and the formula didn't lead me to the river. It led me to frustration. And then I went to a church, visiting a pretty big church in the Twin Cities, and they had pretty good worship there. And the hunger and thirst began to come up in me. And then there was an altar call and for different things, and they, whatever you need was. So I went up front, and there was a couple up there, and they were looking for me to ask them, you know, I'm having trouble in my workplace, or I'm having trouble with my family, or I'm having financial troubles, or I'm having this trouble, or I need healing in my body. And my request was this: I want a hunger and thirst after God. They were shocked that that's why I was up there for. But they got a big smile on their face. They were excited. They go, "We don't get too many of these." And I said, "Okay, that's where I am." And so they laid hands on me, and I was filled with the Spirit of the living God. It's a gift from heaven. To hunger for God is a gift. And it comes from Him, by Him, and through Him. How many want to hunger and thirst for God? It's not something you're going to work up. It's not a New Year's resolution. It comes from the throne room of God, and it's a gift. To hunger for God and have a heart for God is a gift. So you receive a free gift. Many are on a merit program, earning program. If I do this, He'll do that. If I do this, if I only do, if I can change this, He'll do that. I'm pausing because the Spirit is moving in people right now. If only I could do this, then He'll do that. And yet it's an unmerited gift of the Holy Spirit. And the very trying to do something is the very thing that may be getting in your way for the gift. Go to John chapter 7, verse 37. Could this be the Christ, the heavenly scholar, Jesus confronting the religious leaders? And then in chapter 7, verse 37, it says, "On that last day, on that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and began to cry out." He cried out in the Greek. It wasn't that he was just raising his voice, but in the Greek it means this: he was shouting. God through Christ was shouting. Could you see Jesus in this picture? He's beginning to not just raise his voice. I mean, he's shouting this out. And he said, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. If you're thirsty, there's only one place you can go, and it's come to him. Galatians chapter 1, they turned away from him. The way to be filled is to come to Jesus Christ, the person Jesus. If anyone thirsts, let him come to me. Number one, come to me. And drink. And this is the same water that he was talking about with the woman at the well. And then he goes, he who believes or is convinced or persuaded in me, regarding me, as the Scriptures have said, out of their heart will flow rivers of living water. That's a promise. If you believe in me, not as what you think, but as the Scriptures have said, if you believe in him as the Scriptures have been revealed, then out of your heart will flow not just tributaries, not just streams, but rivers of living water. Living waters will come from you, out of you, if you believe in him, not necessarily as you were taught, but as the Scriptures have said. And this he was speaking about concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given, because Jesus was not yet glorified. He was still Old Covenant here, and this place in the Scripture, it wasn't New Covenant yet. It was unfolding, but it was still the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension had not taken place yet. But soon as that came, then he won't be just with you, but he will now be inside of you. Sin had not been permanently paid for, but it was about to be permanently paid for. He would die once and for all, and when he died, it would be the grand release of the Spirit of God. We read about it in Acts chapter 2, when Jesus was exalted, was raised. It said that then he poured out. And the basis of the pouring out was the scene of the exaltation of Jesus Christ. When I went forward, I began to see the exaltation of Jesus. Not because I would change something or do this or do that, but because he was exalted. Because the Scriptures have declared that Jesus is exalted. He's on the right hand, he's at the right hand of the Father, forever making intercession for you. He is in his position. Everything that needed to be done has been done. He has been glorified. He fully completed everything that needed to be done. It is finished, he announced on the cross. It's over. And that, you know the Greek word for that, it means everything that needed to be done in a sequence of order, everything that had to be done was completely done, and there was no more to do. When I went forward in that church, there was no more to do but to rest on the exaltation of Jesus Christ. Your filling, your move in the power of the Spirit is not based on you doing this or doing that. It's based on seeing that He has risen and that He is in His position as High Priest and has fulfilled all things. And because of that, that is the basis and the reason that you can be filled with the Holy Spirit. But it's seen that position is already done. He has been exalted. Everything of your Christian life will come to you, not because of what you did, but because of what He's done. He has done all that was needed to be done. That throughout my life I've been tempted to try to add or improve upon what He's already done. How many know? Because I was improperly taught. The exaltation. Let's just look at that. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. I want to show it to you in Scripture. Start in verse 29 of chapter 2. It says, "Men and brethren, let me speak freely to you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that of the fruit of his body, according to the flesh, he would raise up the Christ to sit on his throne." He would raise him up. "He, foreseeing this, spoke concerning the resurrection of the Christ, that his soul was not left in Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God has raised up, which we are all witnesses. Therefore, being exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, he poured out on this which you now see and hear. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says himself, 'The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool.' Yahweh to Adonai. Therefore, let all those of the house of Israel know as surely this, that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, when they heard this, when they heard that he was exalted, when they heard that he was raised up, when they heard that that was the basis for the Father releasing his promise, he said, they told him in Luke, "Wait into Jerusalem until you are endued or clothed with power from above. Wait there until you're clothed. Don't go out into your ministry. Don't go out and try to advance the kingdom of God. Don't go out and do what you it's in your heart to do, but wait until you're first filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And because when I'm exalted, when I have finished everything that needed to be done, when I is fulfilling the high priestly role, and I took my blood, the blood that was precious blood, the blood of God, when I carried that sinless blood up to the Father and exalted and rose up into heaven and placed it on the mercy seat and sprinkled it 7 times, when I did that and then I sat down, the whole heavens began to shake, and then the Father looked at the Son and the Son looked at the Father, and they nodded and winked, and he said, 'Father, you had promised, send Holy Spirit, and because I have now been exalted, I am now in my position, release the Spirit of God.'" And so came Pentecost. Hallelujah. What were they doing? They were having a good time over there in the upper room. I think they were past the upper room by then. There seems to be a division there. They were probably in the temple, not in the upper room. They were in the upper room praying before. I don't know. You can work that out. Wherever they were, the Holy Spirit came. And it was not because of them. It was based entirely on the finished work of a man named Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Why is it that you today would receive from God an infilling of the Holy Spirit? Because you've had a revelation. It's not about you, but it's about Him. How many believe that? Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 47. If you believe in me, as the Scriptures have said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water, healing waters, freeze. In Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1, it says, "Then he brought me," Ezekiel's up in the Spirit, visions, seeing things. It says, then he brought me, the Lord brought Ezekiel back to the door of the temple. There is a door. And there was water flowing from under the threshold of the temple towards the east. Where was the water flowing? It was heading towards the east. On the east side of the tabernacle was a particular tribe. And that tribe was Judah. And Judah means praise. The water is flowing towards praise. The tribe of Judah on the east. Water's flowing. The front of the temple faced east. The water was flowing from under the right side of the temple, the south of the altar. He brought me out the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate, and that faces east. And there water was running out on the right side. And when the man went out to the east with the line in his hand, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters. The water came up to my ankles. And then again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And then the water came up to my knees. And then again he measured 1,000 and brought me through the waters. And now the water came up to my waist. I've been in rivers before. When you go in ankle deep, or even in the ocean, when the water is moving, you are in control still. Amen. You go up to your knees, a little more resistance, you're a little more out of control maybe, but you're still in control. You get up to your waist, now you're having difficulty. Right? How many would like to go to a place of the realm of the Spirit where there's just, it's teeming with life? Amen? Let's keep reading. So he went up to his waist, and then in verse 5, and again he measured 1,000, and it was a river that I could not cross, for the water was too deep. Water in which one must swim, a river that could not be crossed. And he said to me, Son of man, have you seen this? And I just started seeing this picture of me still up only ankle deep, many part time of my life, or knee deep, maybe it was waist deep, but I still could move around and go up against the river. I could still go in my own soulless direction. I could still, you know, decide where my will wanted to take me. But the Lord was beckoning me, would you want to go in over your head? But there's a promise, if you go in, that's a scary place to be. Now you're totally out of control. Now you're at the mercy entirely of the river. Where it's now taking you where it wants to go. And I believe that in my life, as I've over the years matured, the Lord has been encouraging me to go in past my ankles, past my knees, past my waist, and encourage me in different parts of life. Because some areas, I think I am in fully in. But then there's other parts of my life where I'm only knee deep because I'm not ready yet to lose complete control of this thing. It's almost like we've got different parts that we fully give over, and maybe I don't give fully over. I just interesting, I've got great faith for certain things, and my wife has much greater faith in other things that I don't have faith in. You know what I'm saying? And I believe God wants whatever area it is that you have, that you're maybe it's only knee deep, maybe it's waist deep, but God wants to bring you all the way in over your head. And let's just keep reading what happens here. Because what's going to happen if I go in all the way? But I want to ask you, like he asked Ezekiel, Son of man, have you seen this? Mount Zion, visitors to Mount Zion, have you seen this? Do you see what the Spirit is saying? Will you come in over your head? Will you just fully abandon yourself and yield and walk all the way in and let the river take you where it takes you? How many think that's scary? Maybe you don't even know how to swim. That's even better. Because then you'll be fully under and in. And so he brought me and turned me to the bank of the river. When I returned there along the bank of the river, there were very many trees on one side and the other. Then he said to me, the waters flow towards the eastern region, goes down into the valley and enters the sea. When it reaches the sea, its waters are healed. And it shall be that every living thing that moves, wherever the river goes, will live. Everything that is living, that moves and goes where the river goes, it will begin to live. I mean, in God's definition of living. There will be a very great multitude of fish because these waters go there, for they will be healed, and everything will live wherever the river goes. There will be places for spreading their nets. There will be fish of the same kinds as those fish of the great sea, exceedingly many. But its swamps and its marshes will not be healed. They will be given over to salt. Along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow and all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither, and their fruit will not fail. Those who what? Whose fruit will not fail? Those who go in over their head, and the river takes them to the destiny that God has for them. They will bear fruit every month because their waters flow all the way from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaves for medicine. How many want this to be in your life? I think it's time for the music team to come up, if they could. Thank you. In over your head. You may have sickness in your body. You may have issues of your body or maybe your mind. You going in over your head, it will carry you down to a place that where healing will take place. Will you surrender? Will you yield to God? Maybe some of you have gone in over your head. You're there and... But maybe there's areas of your life you haven't gone in. God has been speaking to you about how you treat your spouse. You know that you haven't yielded. You haven't yielded yet. That's the word for somebody. There's a husband or wife. If you will go in over your head regarding your relationship with your spouse and just follow him, he'll bring healing to your marriage. If you will yield and go in over your head regarding your finances, the river will take you. You can trust in Him. You can be confident in Him that He'll heal it. Broken relationships, even among parents, there's been things said, things done, but if you'll go in over your head, he'll carry you down to a place where your family will be healed.